For I am not ashamed. Say, I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
Say, I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
Now, you don't have to match the volume of the person next to you because some people are quiet. Some people talk, I am not ashamed. But I am going to ask you to say it one more time, and I'm going to ask you to say it louder than you normally talk. So if you whisper, maybe put a whisper plus plus. If you're a screamer, a screamer plus plus. Wherever you're at, let's add a few to it. Because sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. We have to stir. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts within him. We got to stir up the word. We got to stir up. We wait too many times waiting for someone else to stir us up. Did you hear me? If you've been in the church for long, we could fall into that rhythm. Well, I sure hope they come with some good songs of worship because I need to be stirred up. I sure hope pastor's got a good word because I need to be stirred up. I sure hope they say something good at offering. I need to, well, and you might walk out, well, that was three strikes. I don't think I won't be stirred. If nobody says or does the right thing for to stir, you stir yourself up. Did you hear me? You have the ability to stir up the word of God, the anointing of God within the inside of you. Look to your neighbor and say, stir yourself up. All right, so we're going to say this again. And wherever you're at, only you know. And if you don't do it, may the fleece of 1,000 camels rest in your bed tonight. I'm joking about that. But Jesus is watching. Okay. Because being ashamed, what do we tend to do? We tend to get quiet about something. All right, so wherever you're at, plus plus. You ready? For I am not ashamed.
For I am not ashamed.
Wow, no, that's pretty good. I have to stop right there and just tell you. We had some good momentum going there, but I have to stop and just tell you that was pretty good. All right, I didn't mean as short as from the rest of it. Here, ready? For I am not ashamed,
for I am not ashamed
of the gospel
of Christ,
for it is the power of God
unto salvation
to everyone.
To everyone.
That includes me,
because I believe.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm telling you. Now think about that. When we are ashamed of something, we get quiet about something. When we're ashamed about something, we back away from something. I'm not ashamed. Last week we talked about it within the context of witnessing, and that's a key element that most people will take from that verse. I remember growing up in the church, and there would always be evangelists saying, don't be ashamed of the gospel. We got to preach. We got to reach. We got to witness to every person we come in contact with. Don't know them. Stop them. Walk up to them. Interact and ask them, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Well, that wasn't my style. That wasn't my temperament. And I tried it, but, oh, it'd make me nervous. You get these little cartoon tracks. And nowadays, I mean, years ago, they came out with like a $20 or $100 bill. You ever seen those?
Yep.
They leave them as a tip. That just, folks, all that does is tick people off. I mean, come on, think about that. You just thought you found a $100 bill. You pick it up when someone says you thought it was money. It's only a track, you know what I mean? What are they saying? I got you, right? I tricked you. So if someone's tricked you, you don't want to listen to them tell you about eternity because you don't want to be tricked twice. That's just my opinion. You got a pocket full of tracks today with $100 bills on them. God love you. You operate in your method. But it was always a confrontational challenge for me because I wasn't comfortable walking up to strangers and stopping them and asking them that tough question. Today, if you ask somebody that question, walk up and say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity if you die right now? You know, you might be spending a night in jail. Let's be real. Times changed. But the reality is sometimes we can learn better ways. And so we talked last week about how to be approachable and how to approach people and not be confrontational. And you don't have to reach everybody, but you're called to reach the somebodies and be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Let them show you those somebodies. Those individuals in the rhythm of life. Because the majority of the people that God wants us all, I include myself in that boat, to reach and see get saved, are not in the church, they're going to be outside the church.
Yes.
Jesus didn't tell the disciples, now go in the synagogue and try to win everybody.
Yeah.
He said, go into the highways and byways.
Yes.
Get out into the rhythm of life, and in that rhythm, be open for me to use you to reach somebody. And so many times when we start those ideas, because winning the lost is a wise thing to do, the Bible says. Sometimes we start with grander ideas. Oh, I'm going to win 100 people this month. Why don't you just try witnessing to one person this week? Because if we make it too big, over time we don't even keep up with it. Just being open, and that's why I love our Tag by God wristbands. We encourage you to wear those and pray, Lord, place one person in my path this week that I can tag. Help me to reach one person. And let the Lord create the opportunity, the conversation, who move upon your heart. Take off that wristband, tag them. You can say, there's got to be more to it. Well, yeah, you can witness to them. You can pray with them. You can invite them to church or simply be a blessing. The idea is that you are operating with your level of faith. And as you keep operating with your level of faith, you know what happens? You get better. Your faith starts growing. And where before you might have struggled just to take the wristband off and say, here, I'm going to give you something. Before you know it, you'll be like, you know, that's about God and eternity. Hey, do you go to church anywhere? Do you know Jesus? And you'll just keep growing in that process. Amen? So don't be something you're not. Be genuine. Don't get on the funny wagon and act weird. No one likes the weird wagon because I've seen good people get really weird in the church because they were just weird before and they just thought it was okay. No, there's just weird people in the church. We love them, but being spiritual doesn't mean you have to be weird. Amen. Amen. Give me a better amen or you're making me nervous. Amen. Thank you. Okay. But notice here, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news of Christ. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. For it, the gospel, the good news, it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the word salvation there just doesn't include your forgiveness of sins. And aren't we glad that our sins are forgiven? Like the old song, I've been set free. Aren't you glad that you can be set free from your past? Yes. Set free from your sins. You know, people that aren't saved can't say that. They drag around with the painful memories of what they have done and who they have been and where they've been at and what they have seen. And they can never get away from the mistakes and the pains. And many times there's things that they hate and they wish they could take back and they know they can't. Wish they could redo and they know they can't. Wish they could fix and they know they can't. But they live under the weight of that burden that tells them that they're worthless or look how bad they are. And they have to live forever with that weight. But praise God. That's not us, because when you are born again, your sins are forgiven, washed away, not covered up, washed away. You are justified. You are free from your past in the name of Jesus. You're free from your past in the name of Jesus. You're free from your past in the name of Jesus. Salvation is not a country club card. It is not a membership. It is not a class. It is not a self-help. It's not a be a better person. Salvation, the entrance of it, is the power of God bringing you into the kingdom of God, bringing you into the family of God. And you, behold, all things are new, the Bible says. Behold, all things are new. Again, challenge everything I say with the Bible, because it's not my words that counts. It's God's word. When you're saved, you're a new creation in Christ. The past is done away. Say, I'm free from the past.
I'm free from the past.
Say, I'm free from the past.
I'm free from the past.
But it doesn't just stop there. Salvation, that word salvation in the Greek, New Testament, written in the Greek. In the Greek, it's soteria. Saved is sozo. And those words, if you look it up and dig deeper, you'll find that includes not only your sins being forgiven, not only you escaping hell, we could talk about that all day. Not just you going to heaven, praise God, and we could talk about that all day. But it also includes other areas of your life. It includes your health, your physical body. By his stripes, you were healed. Isaiah talks about that sacrifice and the connection of healing to that sacrifice. So when you're fighting sickness, don't stop fighting, because your right is for health. Because under the covenant of the blood of Jesus, you are healed.
Yes.
You have a right to healing.
Yes.
You have a right to be blessed. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Now, I know some of these things have been taken to weird extremes in the church world. And some people think that if you're going to be blessed, you got to be driving a Rolls Royce. No. Or you got to be flamboyant. No. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But if you're struggling, living week to week, and under the pressure and the way, and you can't give the way God wants you to give, you can't help people the way God's placed on your heart to help people, if you can't pay your bills the way you should be paying your bills, something, you're not at the potential level that God has promised you from his word. What am I telling you? There's something better for you. There's something better. You should be able to pay your bills, not be stressed about, oh, I can't eat today because I got to pay my bill. No, you should be able to pay your bills. You should have enough left over to not only take care of you and your family. And I'm not saying that you go out and be foolish. Some people think you've got more left over that you can go buy a Ferrari. No. I mean, if you buy a Ferrari, praise God. But we got to find a balance. You got to grow in these things. But where you have enough left over, where you can be a blessing to everyone that God speaks to your heart to be a blessing to. When's the last time you walked into a restaurant? Some of you haven't been to a restaurant because you're struggling financially. Some of you go into a restaurant and all you think about is what you want. When's the last time you walked in and looked around and said, God, who could I be a blessing to? When's the last time you drove through your neighborhood not just trying to get to your house but start saying, Lord, who in my neighborhood can I help? Because you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Well, it encompasses your finances. It encompasses every facet of your life. But what we have a tendency to do is forget who we are. Wasn't it the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal son came to himself. Remember that? He came to himself. It wasn't the problem that woke him up. It was the reminder, the memory of who his father was and what his heavenly father or what his natural father had. That is a parable, that is a story connecting, having a spiritual interpretation. Which means what wakes people up that have gone away is when they realize who their heavenly father is. Because he said to himself, doesn't my father have more than enough? And his servants, his employees have more than enough? Why am I sitting here? Why am I living this level? Why am I tolerating this? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise up and move forward to my father. Right? Steady out. Don't take my word. Challenge it. Look it up. I'm going to rise up and move toward my father. What was he saying? I am better than where I'm at right now. I'm better than where I'm at right now. I'm better than where I'm at right now. My surroundings don't affect my identity. My surroundings don't define who I am. If you're not careful, your surroundings, your problem, your storm will define who you are. And you'll go through life seeing through the lenses, seeing through the perspective, having the self-image based on your surroundings, not on your identity to your father. Yes. Oh, wasn't it the spies that went to spy out the promised land? And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, we can take them. There's giants in the land, but our God's given us the land. We can do it. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Yes. But the other ones, what do they say? Oh, there's giants. It's a good land. Oh, it's got promises. It's got great potential. It's everything. It's flowing with milk and honey, just like God had said. But you know what? There's giants, and we're grasshoppers in their eyes. Well, how would they know how they looked in the eyes of the enemy? It's because they saw themselves, and they made the assumption we're not important enough. We don't deserve it. We're not significant enough to take what God's called us to have. That's a tactic of the devil. That's a tactic of the enemy. He wants you to see yourself as not enough so that you'll never pursue God for more than enough in your physical body, in your finances. And if you're in a challenge today, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's called a real person. There's battles in life. Jesus said, in this life, you'll deal with trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. So you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. You might be saying, hey, I must be going someplace good, and the devil's trying to keep me from what belongs to me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has something great for you today. And maybe you forgot who you are, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the earth. The one on the inside of you is greater than those around you. And what keeps you from moving forward will be your own perspective of, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this. I don't know if I can handle this. Oh, this is, I'll just settle for just the food for the pigs. No, no. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Realize who you are in Christ. who you are to rise up and say, wait a minute, I don't have to settle for this. I don't have to live at this level. I don't have to stay here because my Father has more than this for me. If you don't get that revelation, the devil will talk you out of it every day. Joshua 1, verse 6 through 8. God told Joshua, I'm going to be with you in the whole chapter. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. I'll do the work. I just need you to be bold and courageous. Haven't I said several times, haven't I told you, be bold, be strong and courageous. Why? Because if they weren't strong, if they weren't courageous, you know what would happen? They wouldn't pursue what God told them to pursue. They wouldn't do what God told them to do. If you're not strong and courageous, you'll never take the bold step to say, let me tag you and talk to you about Jesus. If you're not bold and courageous, you'll never take that step of, oh, I need to apply for that job. You'll sit back waiting for everything to be dropped off into your lap, and it doesn't work that way. The kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent taken by force. You got to be bold and courageous. For the righteous are bold as a lion. You got to realize, wait a minute, I'm better than this. Yeah. Shout out, better than this.
I'm better than this.
Yeah. The prodigal son said, I'm better than this. I want you to know that God, and this happens in the church world all the time, people read the Bible and they begin to interpret the Bible, but many people don't interpret the Bible by the Bible. You know what they do? We tend to interpret the Bible by our problems, by our life, by our stories. Well, I know the Bible says that, but you know, that probably is not so much true because I knew somebody. Years ago when I was a youth pastor, I had a lady call me, a mom of one of the youth in the church. Oh, Pastor, I am so concerned about my son. You know, if you're a youth pastor, that's a concerning intro to a conversation, right? I think I got a big problem here. I'm so concerned about my son. He's about 15 years old. I said, what's the problem? Oh, he likes reading the Bible. Right? That was her concern. He's reading the Bible. Too much. I said, I'm so sorry, not to be rude, but what problem do you see with that? Oh, I had a friend tell me that she knew somebody who had a teenage son. Don't you love all that? I knew somebody who knew somebody who's, you don't even know their names, and you don't even change your life direction based on somebody you don't even, even if you know your name, you got to be careful who you used to change your life direction. She said, I knew somebody who had a son, and he wanted to be in the ministry, and he read the Bible all the time, and he got ran over by a car and died when he was 17 years old. And I don't want that to happen to my son. You know, sometimes you just can't fix stupid. Come on, we just love people. But you just can't. She had somehow connected a story of somebody she didn't even know and had, in her mind, figured out that if her son read the Bible, then something's wrong, he might die. It's amazing how people interpret the Bible. But you know what? What is a more common practice is people will read the Bible within the lenses or perspective or the filters, you might say, of their own experience. God couldn't have meant that because I knew somebody or I've experienced this. And God doesn't want you to define his will because his word is his will. His word is his will. God does not, are you listening to me? God does not want you to find his will for you by your experiences of your past. God does not want you to find his will by your problems. He does not want you to go to him and say, this must be your will because of my problem. No, he does not want you to interpret his word by your problems or your pain. But he wants you to impart his will into your problems. Can I get an amen? So when you face a problem, you don't redefine what the Bible says. No, you rise up and say, wait a minute. I don't have to live with this. I don't have to stay here. I can rise up. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. Psalms 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Arise, when the word becomes alive to you, all of a sudden you can rise up. Wait a minute. I hope some of you have a wait a minute moment.
Yes.
What you have tolerated,
come on.
What we've embraced.
Come on.
The devil doesn't play fair, folks, and he'll never get enough. Oh, if I don't complain, maybe he'll just go away. No, he doesn't do it that way. Jesus says that a strong man is secure in all his ways until a stronger than he shows up. And then when a stronger than the strong man shows up, he can bind that strong man, bind the enemy's power, bind what the devil's doing in your life, and he can take all his goods. I'm telling you, we tolerate the devil too much in too many areas, and we read the Bible as if God's weak, but we're going to go back to that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, it's the power of God. Say,
it's the power of God.
It's the power of God. But Pastor, it just doesn't make sense to me. I try to figure out how God's going to do it, and I haven't seen it work that way. And I know the Bible says that, but I just don't understand. Could you explain how God, connect the dots for me? Let's turn to, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll throw this on the screen. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Notice verse 5, that your faith, what is your faith? It's your convictions, what you believe in the Word of God that's been revealed to your heart. Hebrews 11:1, substance things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. Hebrews 6, by faith and patience we inherit the promises. You can't even please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Every that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is a key element here. That your faith should not stand or be supported in the wisdom of men, but in the? Talk to me, in the? Come on, shout it, in the what?
Power
of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. See, we praise God for anointed teachers, but we've gotten the church world where we have been so slanted because there was a season in the church, it was all about preaching. And preaching is just not shouting. Preaching is impartation. Some people thought preaching was shouting and singing. It's not. You can be shouting when you're preaching, but the true essence of preaching is the word and the impartation of power in that preaching. But we had a season where everybody was a preacher and nobody taught. And so people didn't understand the hows. And so all of a sudden there was a season where everybody became teachers and people begin to explain line upon line, word upon, and precept and instructions and breaking it down. That's important too. But all of a sudden we find ourselves in the church world with a lot of teachers, but not many preachers. And we know how, but we now don't have the power. Because there's no impartation. We need both of these gifts operating in the church world globally. We need teachers and we need preachers. Because we need to have the instruction, but we also have to understand the power. Romans 4, Abraham did not consider his own body, now 100 years old, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded. What was he fully persuaded? What was his convincing mark? What was the key element in his life that pushed him over and saying, I'm going to stand for God? He was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able. What was he confident in? In the power of God. There's times where you cannot and will not connect the dots when you stand on the edge of darkness. But if God said, light, believe me, light is there. It's coming. It's revealing. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. When God says it, it's working. But God, what do I need to do? You got to rise up on who you are and understand the power of God. You know, there's a story about a guy, and maybe you can relate to this. He would walk his dog. We have a man in our neighborhood who walks his dog, older gentleman, every day. And the story goes how this guy would walk his dog. And every time he came around this one corner, there'd be this little dog. With a big temper and attitude. Have you ever seen these little dogs with a big attitude? And it would come, and it would try to aggravate his big dog, and he would hold it off because he didn't want to hurt the dog, and they'd just try to ignore it every day. Come yapping at him. He'd just try to ignore it. You know, and after a while, he had the idea, why do I allow this dog to annoy me every day? He get frustrated, have to hold on to his big dog, have to walk past, just ignore him. Then that little dog chasing him, biting at his feet, biting at his dog. And finally he came to the idea of, why do I need to tolerate this? So one day he's walking, here comes that little dog, and the dog got little dog with big attitude, got close, yapping and barking. And he looked at the dog and said, "Scat!" And that went off. I'm telling you, the devil's bigger in your mind than he is in reality. And sometimes you're walking through life saying, "Well, I guess," but you're tolerating some stuff you don't need to tolerate. But one day you wake up with who you are and say, wait a minute. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you'll put your foot down. Having done all, you'll put your foot down and stand strong and say, "Devil, get out of here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee." Flee like a dog with his tail between his legs, crying for mercy. Flee! Flee! Oh, he'll say, "I'm not going." Well, if he's talking, you already know he's on his way out. Because he operates in darkness, and the moment he starts manifesting, he's on his way out. Don't be scared and let him back in. Say, "You're already gone. You're already gone. You're already gone. I'm not moved by what I feel here. See, I'm moved by the word of God. And the word says you have to go at my command. Get out of here in Jesus' name. What I bind is bound and whatever I loose is loose." Get out of here in Jesus' name. Put your foot down. You have the power. You have the power. You have the power. It's like those, have you ever picked up a phone and maybe the cologne or the aroma of someone in your family was on that phone? This happened more when we didn't have cell phones. We had landlines. And we shared. I mean, I'm not going all the way back to, come on, somebody. Some of you know what I'm talking about. This is after party lines, but before cell phones. Okay, somewhere. Some of you know what party lines are. You pick up that phone and you can smell the aroma of that person, the perfume, because the residence of them being there. I'm telling you, when you tell the devil get, you might smell the aroma of where he's been, but that don't mean he's there anymore. He's gone in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the goodness of your heavenly. Celebrate, praise the name of Jesus. At that name, every knee must bow and every tongue confess. Amen. Say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power." I'm telling you, you got to bring the power of God back into your prayer life, the power of God back into your faith, the power of God. Don't let the devil get you to rationalize, "Well, how's it going to work out? What if you fail? What if it don't?" Say, "No, my faith is in the power of God. And if God has said it to me, I stand strong, having done all, stand strong. And I believe it and I'll obey it." If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time with him.